Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell.
Please have your attention, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Particularly this week, Senator Santorum, you have a new television ad that labels him a fake. Why?
Because he's a fake.
Robert Scott Bell.
Are you aware of the ingredients in the vaccine?
I know there's some egg.
I don't think they offered us a list of ingredients, though.
But did you know that there's mercury in that shot?
Oh, I did not.
Robert Scott Bell.
The only thing that supporters of the raw food movement are sick of is people telling them what they can or cannot put in their mouth.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, Super Don, we're back in studio. It's so good to
Welcome
be back.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Welcome back, Connor.
He's back from Health Freedom Expo.
Yeah, 2 weeks of travel, man. It takes a lot out of you, but I'm still here. I just needed a day to recover once I was home. A lot of honeydews, catch up with the wife and kids, and thanks for getting that great encore presentation yesterday. And boy, oh boy, did we do some great interviews from Health Freedom Expo. Man, oh man, that stuff that I sent you and you put it on there, and the contentious interview, all of it was great. Andrew Wakefield, Jeffrey Smith. And while I was gone, of course, there was a Super Tuesday thing, right? Super Tuesday.
There was.
The big news is what they're not reporting, is that with the second place finishes of Ron Paul, he is collecting delegates like I don't know who collects what. But, I mean, the point is, if you're walking through the sticker bushes, they're collecting delegates like you're walking through sticker bushes. They're just clinging to Ron Paul, but they don't want to acknowledge it. So good news on that front, looking more and more like a brokered convention, the way Romney can't win it outright. Santorum certainly can't. Gingrich is just hanging on. So we don't have a lot to say on that today. We'll be following up. In fact, I don't have a lot to say on this opening with you, Super Don, except I'm glad to be back. And we've got so much to cover between, you know, pink goo for lunch. And we've got some vaccine stuff they're acknowledging in the scientific community. And next hour, Sean Stone, we are releasing that interview. That interview is going to rock the world. And we want to prevent war. Sean Stone's here, son of Oliver Stone, Director Oliver Stone. We got him at the Health Freedom Expo. We're going to reveal that as well. But suffice it to say, so glad to be back with you.
Well, glad to have you back and missed you a bunch and looking forward to doing some time here in the studio. We've got a bunch of cool stuff to talk about this week. But starting today, as you said, how cool is it to get Oliver Stone's son?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many people get to talk to Sean Stone? We've got him on the show today.
Yeah,
it's going
to
be awesome.
He came to the Health Freedom Expo specifically to be on the Robert Scott Bell Show, and we appreciate that. And so that's coming up. We've got a moment of duh, you will not believe, and more. 866-939-BELL. We're taking a quick break because there's so much to cover. I'm glad to be back. Stay with us. Say thanks to our sponsors, naturalnewsradio.com as well. You can sign up for email alerts there, and everything is already linked up at robertscottbell.com. Back after this.
You're listening to the Godzilla of Health Talk Radio.
Run! It's Godzilla!
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
Robert Scott the Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Don, I've lost my appetite. A whole new meaning to the word, or words, mystery meat.
Yes.
I went to government indoctrination centers when I was younger, Don. You know, I was in public school.
I was too.
And you probably had, like, Wednesdays are mystery meat. And back then, they used, like, soy patties. We didn't even know what soy was in the 1970s. Soy. Okay, it sounds good. The government says it's great. Must be good. It's soy burger. It's mystery meat. Turns out the mystery meat's gotten a lot cleaner. Why has it gotten cleaner? Do you remember those old commercials? They kind of had this cartoon character who was bald and had an earring called Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean. I do remember him.
Well, yeah. Mr. Clean has come out of retirement, evidently, to help the... Well, since McDonald's has now rejected the pink slime ammonia-treated meat in this Pepto-Bismol meat, the U.S. government is there to pick up the slack and make sure all our little girls and boys that go to government indoctrination centers get that ammonia-treated meat, especially in the bright Pepto-Bismol pink shade, because you know how much kids love the colored meat that they eat.
That's right. No, this is absolutely horrible. You know, we covered a few weeks ago, McDonald's and Taco Bell and Burger King, they had come out publicly and said they were not going to use this pink slime ammonia treated meat anymore because it had been brought to people's attention that they were using this for their food. And so these fast food joints, the ones that are demonized by the activist groups and zeroed in on by the government and by Michelle Obama as being something that causes obesity, these fast food joints decided, we're not going to use this anymore. We're sorry. We suddenly have seen the error of our ways, blah, 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 blah. So now we find out that the U.S. Department of Agriculture, our friends at the USDA, are actually purchasing 7 million pounds of this stuff to put in school lunches.
Well, can we question Michelle Obama now? Is she going to come out as vociferously against the Department of Agriculture as she did against fast food restaurants?
So. And I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, she may. She may.
I don't know.
If people make enough of a noise about this.
But they're officially termed. You know how the government's not into labeling things properly? That's why we call, like, FDA the Fear and Death Administration.
Right.
Well, they don't want to call it mystery meat. They certainly don't want to call it pink slime like it is. Or they don't want to call it ammonia-treated meat. They want to call it lean beef trimmings.
Lean beef trimmings.
Can I have some lean beef trimmings with my USDA 1%, 0% antibiotic-infested pasteurized milk, please? Lean beef trimmings.
Oh, my goodness. Now here's the thing, Robert. Now, you know, I got to hand it to him. At least there is some accuracy in this term because this is actually very lean. But the reason why it's lean is because it's not the actual meat of the cow.
Oops, no, we're talking about ground-up beef scraps, cow connective tissues, and other trimmings that are treated with ammonium hydroxide to kill pathogens like salmonella and E. coli. And then it can be blended in this pink, luscious color, blended into traditional meat products like ground beef. So you don't know it's there.
No. In fact, one of the microbiologists that they quote in this article called it Soylent Pink.
Yes, which I see that. Soylent Pink. And it's Carl Custer's last stand. That's the microbiologist. Who's, oh, my gosh. It's worked at Food Safety Inspection for 35 years. He says, let's see, we looked at the product and we objected to it because it used connective tissues instead of muscle. It was simply not nutritionally equivalent to ground beef. My main objection, that it was not real meat. Really? So that was his main objection.
Here's the question. Yeah. How can the USDA get away with this? How can they get away with putting something that is not meat, something that's been rejected? I mean, listen, if McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Burger King reject the pink slime, what in the hell is the USDA doing purchasing 7 million pounds of this stuff to put in our kids' school lunches?
It tells you what they really think and feel about kids in America, that they're willing to do that. But this is the same government. Let's be honest about this. This is the same government that says it's perfectly fine to inject your children with these experimental medicaments with who knows if ammonium hydroxide might be in a vaccine. You'll find out one day because there's a lot of nasties in there, and I would not be surprised. So it's like, hey, well, you know, we inject the kids with this stuff, so why not feed it to them? What's the big deal?
I tell you, the study that this Carl Custer did came out saying that this lean beef trimmings were a high-risk product. And that's something, you know, ammonium hydroxide is something to be concerned about in using this product. And a lot of people don't understand that this treatment of the meat is not that uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the movie Food Incorporated,
right,
they have a particular part of that where they show the actual process where this stuff is actually washed in this machine. It looks like the laundromat kind of a washing machine.
Yeah,
and it's got all the ammonium hydroxide in there, and it's tumbling the meat product in there and washing it and trying to kill the E. coli and the stuff in there. And this is in stuff. If you buy processed food, if you buy fast food, you're eating this stuff.
Well, ammonium,
it's out there, and it's just absolutely amazing to see where the food that we put in our mouths, where it actually comes from.
Well, ammonium hydroxide, they claim it is harmful to eat, potentially to turn into ammonium nitrate, which, guess what? The fertilizer bombs are ammonium nitrate. Yeah, exactly. It's not enough that your kids are going to school and having gas. They could explode now.
That's right. Exploding chicken nuggets.
Yeah, well, and exploding children, if this is the case. In 2009, the New York Times reported that despite the added ammonia, tests of lean beef trimmings of schools across the country revealed dozens of instances of, guess what? The very thing they said they're going to kill with the ammonium is not being killed.
Wow. So not only are you eating something that has ammonium hydroxide, which can turn into ammonium nitrate, but you're getting the E. coli and the salmonella anyway.
Yeah. So what's the point? If you rely upon the government for information, just as, you know, Dr. Pitar, one of his favorite sayings, if you rely upon the government to feed you, basically, you're going to be in as sorry a state as those who live under tyranny. Here's a classic case in point. And we have especially the inner city, those that are poor, minorities, etc., relying on the government to feed them. And this is an absolute disaster. And you could say, if you want to be conspiratorial and plot, like, hey, here's a good way where we can rain illness down by going within these children, by giving them food that will not facilitate, you know, proper nutrition, but may in fact be harmful to them, and maybe would be more susceptible, as we see generationally, with more vaccines and more additives, preservatives and colorings and flavorings and pesticides and herbicides and E. coli and salmonella, which, by the way, in a healthy body, you can withstand that. But in a body that's racked with inflammation and all of these toxic poisons, you have little or no defense against this. And it reminds me, you know, a lot of the people, if you were at the Health Freedom Expo this past week, and I'm so glad you came down to say hi. And remember, we got one coming up in Chicago. And Don, you bring your little super dogs if you can get
them out there. Yeah, I'm going to go kick the super dogs.
We like having the dogs visit from time to time. They are not going to be turned into what the kids are eating, though. That's the difference here on this show. Unlike the USDA would probably do some nasty things to anything that comes near their 7 million pound purchase there. But I had William Scott Pavone. You know who you are. Hi, Scott. You are a wonderful supporter of the Robert Scott Bell Show. You came out again to the Health Freedom Expo. He brought an MMA fighter with him to my lectures. You know, I said, you know.
I'm a fan.
Right.
I'm a fan. In fact, you can see right now I'm wearing my hat. Yeah. I got my UFC hat on.
Nice. So Ultimate Fighting there right here in the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I do my share of boxing. And yes. It really, when I was there, I was really inspired because here's this big guy, massive muscles, doesn't look like he's scared of anything. And I talked about infectious disease. I talked about chronic disease. I talked about the damage to the gut ecology, the inflammation, etc. And I said, it's sort of like this analogy popped in my head. I don't know if we call it that, but I looked at the guy. I said, who wants to, you know, basically, who would take this guy on? He could kick some serious tushy here. No one's really going to be able to beat him. But imagine if, just like your immune system, like, you know, the MMA fighter, he's in a, like the immune system. He's ready to take on everything. He's strong. He's healthy and vital. You're like, great, go get him. But imagine if you put that guy to work in the ring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It wouldn't be too long before grandma over there in the ninth row, she's 85 years old and 95 pounds, could take the guy on and whoop his tushy. Why would I say it? Well,
I'd pay to watch that.
Well, no, I don't think it would be that fun. But
That would be...
Am I making my point here?
That would sell out. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Even the toughest of the tough. I want to
see grandma beat up the MMA fighter. I'm sorry. I just got a vision in my head there.
Maybe Liam can make a cartoon. That's a great idea for the new Briar Patch cartoon. But imagine if he's exhausted, because, of course, you can't sustain as good a shape as you are. No boxer, the most fit boxer, could not fight 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so my point about immune exhaustion is that we are overutilizing and over-relying upon our immune system. They're not supposed to be on 100% of the time, those immune cells. They're just supposed to be watchdogs. You know, they check it out, looking around, seeing what's there. And then, if need be, they can intervene on your behalf. And, of course, these kids that have gut inflammation, leaky gut, and adults, too, are in a constant state of chronic immune dysfunction because they're exhausting their immune cells. So even if they started out as powerful MMA fighters, they're eventually weakened to the point where a 90-pound weakling E. coli or salmonella bacteria that wouldn't be able to take on a healthy immune system is suddenly able to overwhelm and threaten an entity, a child even, to the point of death without having to go in and get napalmed with antibiotics, which may be salvaging their life temporarily but worsening the original problem that brought this on. So I don't know. I'm telling you for the first time because you didn't get to come to the Health Freedom Expo. Did that kind of analogy, that visual, does that work for you? Does it sort of make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
I still want to see Grandma beat up the UFC guy, though. I just...
Of course. I hear the punching. Oof! Ow! Oof!
Yes. Yeah, right. Yes.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles, were they beating up a little old granny in that one, or was the granny beating up somebody?
You know, I hate to admit it. Uh-huh. I know everybody else has probably seen it. I have actually never sat down and watched Blazing Saddles.
Well, that's your homework. Watch it, and then we'll get back and use some sound effects from that movie.
All right.
We can do that.
Sounds good. So Pink Slime.
Yeah, Pink Slime bad, in the
bad.
News.
Pink Slime bad.
Bad Pink Slime, and... You know, I remember the days where before I was raised, you know, homeopathically in my second life, my primary life started out with pharmaceutical raising. I did use Pepto-Bismol because I had a lot of gastrointestinal distress in my young life. And I freely and willingly share those stories so you understand where I'm coming from. If, however, I had been raised like an Amish kid, I likely would not have had a fraction of the problems I had growing up in my young life as a city slicker. And I think that's where we need to go next. Were you raised like an Amish guy on a farm, Don?
You know, it wasn't quite like that. I'll tell you, I ate pretty good at home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, growing up, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show before or not, but I grew up in a Mormon household. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, there are things that you just don't do. The things, you know, health-wise, you know, you don't consume caffeine, you don't drink alcohol, you don't use tobacco, do all those sort of things.
So. What is the LDS church stance on organic food versus commercially grown, chemically grown food? Is there a stance?
I don't think there is really a stance. Not that I recall. I mean, there's a lot of doing things naturally and growing your own food and storing, you know, natural food, having food storage and things of that nature. But I don't recall there ever being anything specifically, you know, addressing organics at all.
Well, and that's true also for most of the Christian and Jewish religion and even the Muslim faith, which they, if they utilize original kosher laws or these ideas in the Bible of cleanliness of food, they did not account for the synthetic pesticides, etc. Like, what was the guy, Ames, the guy that we had a little contention with on
Bruce
the show?
Bruce Ames.
The
other day? Wasn't that great?
Oh, my gosh.
I have to say, that's one of the first times in a very long time that you have had a guest on that you really disagreed with. You guys had opposing points of view.
Was I mean to him?
You weren't. No. You were very gracious.
My wife said, I'm glad you didn't beat him up. I said, typically,
you didn't get all Michael Savage on him.
No, I didn't.
Which you could have.
But, I don't typically beat up frail 83-year-olds. No, I respect my elders, even if I disagree with them. And, you know, I tried to be very respectful for it. And, you know, if you have a comment or question about that interaction, or if you like contentious interviews, maybe we'll do more. It isn't my intent. I like, you know, it's like I said, that viewpoint, which is represented in the rest of the media, I tend to think I don't have to bring out here on this show because we've got to balance out all of which happens the other 24 hours, 7 days a week in the old media. So I don't tend to think, oh, let's bring on this guy so we can argue with him, right? But it kind of happened, and it was kind of an interesting thing. I was like, I could feel the hairs raising up in the back. I was like, I couldn't believe what he was saying.
But you don't understand. We're designed to live in a world of toxins and pesticides.
Right. And when God created man, he said, one day you shall... You know,
I loved listening to it because I could see this. I could just imagine the look of disbelief on your face as this was going on.
I was like, "Who set this up? Who is it? Hey, is somebody punking me?"
Alan Funt was there. Yes.
And you know how many people, friends of mine, said, "You got to get him on." I'm like, "Okay, we did it." And look, I'm glad we did it. I'm glad. Listen, let's take a break. We'll talk more about raising your kids Amishly. Whether you want to convert or not, that's not the point of this. But, you know, raised like not an Egyptian, but an Amish person. Will it be helpful for you and your children? We'll be back on the Robert Scott Bell Show to check that out next.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed, natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right? Right.
Robert Scott Bell.
By the way, if you want to undo some of the damage of eating pink slime, you would be doing much better if you would take the homeopathic medicines for food additives, because that includes the ammonium hydroxide and all the garbage in there. You can call up King Bio during the week at 800-543-3245, 800-543-3245, and we've covered this on Healing Revolution Fridays for a long time. Different additives and environmental pollutants which are included in the pink slime food that hopefully your kids are no longer eating. If they are still eating that after this broadcast, I might have to question why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Maybe. Yeah, it's just morbid curiosity about what I'm eating because I still want
to
eat it.
Maybe you listen to Bruce Ames, you know, that guy. Maybe that's
yeah,
it. Oh, we're meant to eat pink slime. That's it.
Yes. The body's designed to get rid of that on its own.
Well, the Amish Farms Kids story is a great story. We've been talking about the Amish for a long time and the fact that there's little or no autism or autism spectrum diseases among the Amish community. And children growing up now, according to this article, and this was listed at WAFB's website and Health Day reporter Serena Gordon wrote this story. She says, children growing up in the Amish culture in Switzerland. In Switzerland, of all places. I mean, clean Switzerland. But they have significantly less asthma and allergies than Swiss children who didn't grow up on a farm, according to new research. So I didn't even know they had Amish culture in Switzerland. Again,
I did not know that. I think of Amish, I always think of
Pennsylvania and Ohio.
Or something like that.
Now, yeah. I've been to Switzerland, and I never met any Amish people there, perhaps. Maybe they're kind of extrapolating on something. I met Swiss people in Switzerland. I have. Mm-hmm. And they were, especially the ones who were growing up in the mountainsides and drinking raw milk, man, they were just rockingly strong. I mean, amazing. So the Amish youngsters have even less risk of asthma and allergy than Swiss children who grew up on non-Amish farms. So this is like a Swiss-to-Swiss focal point. I think you'd find something similar in the Amish children here in America, although it might not be as clean here as it once was. But, you know, our family, we often get Amish cheeses, raw cheeses. We'll get Amish raised dairy milk, if you will, that are non-pasteurized, etc. My kids don't have asthma. They don't have allergies. And so just a small example in the Bell family. But unlike their dad, if you're going to say, well, no, it's genetic, right? People say, well, my family, allergies runs in our family. Well, you have to go back, and I've talked about this. My father, who grew up, you know, in New York and Far Rockaway, he's no longer with us, as you know, unless you're new to the show. But a few years back, he passed away. But there were hardly any allergies, and certainly not asthma. That was a rare thing. You had one sickly child, even a generation before mine. That was it. And now it's become so commonplace to have these chronic ailments, respiratory diseases, and they don't want to look at like what this study is pointing out. Like, where is the Department of Health and Human Services encouraging us to learn from the Amish, for instance? No, we got to vaccinate everybody. And, of course, that's another thing here that they don't mention in this article, unless you saw it, Don.
Nothing about vaccination. No.
Yeah, and the Amish people rarely, if ever, vaccinate. And that's just a coincidence. Has nothing to do with health. Oh, my gosh. But they happen to not be as chronically ill as the Swiss people that are non-Amish, that don't live on a farm, that most likely vaccinate. They don't reference it, but Swiss children who live on farms, about 25% have allergic sensitivity. Now, I'm not surprised by that. That's a quarter of them. And they're not saying how severe it is, but
it's a very interesting statistic, because in this study, what they found in the general population of Europe, as many as 50% of the kids have allergic sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they break it down from there, and they show that Swiss children who live on farms have about 25%
allergic sensitivity. Oh, I see the stat you're referencing. So they're already – just the movement, Don, this is cool what you're bringing up here. The movement from the general population to the movement to on a farm, and you're not Amish, but you're just on a farm, 25%. Right. So it's 100% or 50% reduction. And then if you go down, though, to the Amish children on the farm, then it goes down to 7%, which is what one in five does. Wow, that's significant. It's ridiculously low.
7% versus 50%.
So what is it about being Amish? Is it the Amish genes? I'd say there's no such thing as Amish genes. It's the behavior. It's the diet. It's the lifestyle that we could learn a lot from, because these people tend to eschew a lot of the modern conveniences. They're not sitting on their duffs watching and playing video games all day and all night. They're out there building barns, working the land, and being exposed to what? Microbes. Normally occurring billions and billions, like Carl Sagan, billions and billions of teeming microbes in the soil, in the raw milk, all the things that they're encountering. Oh my gosh, they might use manure for what? The soil rehabilitation, to renew the soil every year. So yep. That's loaded with bacteria, Don. Why aren't these kids suffering with all the asthma and allergies?
Well, it says here that there were two factors in this study that appeared to be protective against allergy and asthma in the Amish children. One was that they drank raw milk.
Yep.
Number two was because of their exposure to large farm animals at a young age. So, you know, they start off at a young age being exposed to these microbes, the old microbes, you know, no hand sanitizer, no antibacterial soap, you know, none of this stuff. And it appears that the combination of those two factors has brought the percentage down to 7% of them having any allergic sensitivity.
The hygiene hypothesis. That's a great alliteration. We have the hygiene hypothesis. We got to explain ourselves here. Why? Because they're so super clean? No, because they are actually interacting with the microbial world, and we depend, not just a little bit, but completely, on the microbial world for our very life. That gut, that intestinal tube, that thing that goes from the mouth to Uranus, right? Planet Uranus. All of that is the outside of your body, and all of that is teeming with microbial life forms that are sustaining us, providing for us, digesting, immune function, even producing brain chemicals and other endocrine hormone compounds for the body to utilize.
And which, you know, if people didn't get to hear it with the interview that you did with Andrew Wakefield.
Yes.
You and him actually went into that to some great length. It was very interesting about the importance of gut bacteria and how essential it is in so many ways that people have not understood for a long time, and a lot of people don't understand. Docs, you know, with Doug Grease, do not understand that gut bacteria is almost, well, it's not almost, it's essential to life.
Yes.
That you cannot live without it, and there are things that the bacteria are doing that keep you alive.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than people looking at it going, oh, we got to be careful, we got to watch out for that bacteria. Bacteria is bad. Mm-hmm. In fact, bacteria is good, and if you didn't have bacteria, you wouldn't be alive.
Well, of course, we heard that John Walker Smith was recently cleared. He was one of the co-authors of the paper. They went after Andrew Wakefield and tried to destroy him. And since that interview, this just happened yesterday, we were hearing about this, and it's on the British TV as well as on YouTube. They're reporting that he was cleared of all, any and all wrongdoing, and they vindicated this Professor Walker Smith.
Yes.
And he's one of the world's leading gastroenterologists. But they simply observed what we talked about. Go back and listen to the Wakefield interview we played. This is an astonishing amount of information we were able to release in one interview. Of course, in his book, Callous Disregard, of course, he referenced that as well. And anybody worth their whatever, worth their salt, knows that the microbial world sustains us, yet we work so hard to destroy it, and we become aseptic. And then, of course, we increase our susceptibility. We decrease our immune response capability and even immune response time by not interacting with the microbial world. And, of course, we've talked in terms of the experience our immune systems need growing up, the rites of passage, interacting with microbes and viruses and bacteria and fungus, all of these things, and it strengthens us, and we are less likely then to succumb with the allergies, asthma, these chronic diseases for which I suffered with tremendously and horrendously for a long, long time.
So it would appear that the hygiene hypothesis is actually being supported by this article and by this research and the study that they've done here, that in fact it does appear that these kids on the Amish farm are benefiting from exposure to these microbes, to the bacteria. But of course, as they always have to do, they throw in the disclaimer in here, in this article, where the researcher cautions that he doesn't want people to suddenly go out and start drinking raw milk. It says here, he says, you know, that these findings in no way suggest that people should start giving their children raw milk as it can harbor disease-causing germs.
Oh, my gosh.
Thinking, wait a minute. Yeah. The paragraph right before that was saying that the germs were helping the kids, and now you've got to throw in there, beware of the disease-causing germs. It's silly. They have to throw that in there. But, of course, they can't actually come out and say that raw milk might be a good thing to give to your kids because we're currently at war with the Amish here in the United States.
Where the Amish are the terrorists.
Over the raw milk.
Yeah, they violate their very religious tenets, and I'm talking not about the Amish, but I'm talking about those in this so-called pseudoscientific realm that are acknowledging some level of facts and truth here. And yet they, a paragraph later, say, well, we didn't really mean it. Yeah,
yes.
We didn't really mean it. We don't want you to drink the raw milk, despite the fact that you've got a fraction of a percentage of illness in those that are consuming these kinds of foods that include healthy, unpasteurized, bacterial-containing foods that are not basically contaminated with the demon spawn of Louis Pasteur. I mean, how else are you going to say it? So this is where we want to go. And, of course, that's why you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show, because we've been talking about this ever since I got on the air in 1999. For goodness sake, you're just now catching up. Where have you been?
Well, here's the reason why, Robert. Mm-hmm. At the very end of this article, it throws another disclaimer in there, saying that because the research was presented in a medical meeting, the data and conclusions should be viewed as preliminary until published in a peer-reviewed journal.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
What are the odds that this is going to be published in a peer-reviewed journal?
That could be interesting, because if they do, they might have to attack the journal, the writers, et cetera, to have it withdrawn. In the meantime, you're more likely to catch a rerun of Green Acres, because farm living is a life for me, right? And that's where we need to be going back to start growing our own food, to get back into this so we can interact with the soil. We got to. And, of course, the vaccine seminar, Armed and Dangerous, all the things they don't want you to hear about. It is sensational. I'm not just saying that. We're getting word from not just Mike Adams, but so many others that are listening. They're sending us their comments. In fact, I want to hear from you. If you have downloaded the vaccine seminar that you can get through WebSeed, just click the link and you go to robertscottbell.com, top right-hand corner, Vaccines Armed and Dangerous. Click the link. Give it a listen. Tell us what you think. I want to hear your feedback. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. When we come back from this break, another round of science, that's going to confirm what we have been saying and what we revealed in explicit detail, John Rappaport and I, in the vaccine seminar about primary and secondary immune systems and the division between them and the fact that you might not need antibodies to beat back a virus. We're going to do that. Plus, a moment of duh after this break. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Welcome to the United States of Health Talk Radio. Health talk that doesn't suck.
The latest news flash. There's good news from Australia and One Stop Health Shop. Now you can get the papaya products your body needs to fight aging and combat damage to the central nervous system. Products that aid plasma glucose level decrease, assist in weight loss, support wound healing, and combat many diseases. Papaya leaf extract actually reduces oxidative stress and boosts your immune system. The probiotic formula is documented to be antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants and is up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. Log on now to one-stop-health-shop.com to see and read the good news about these 100% organic products. The good news is papaya leaf extract is now available from one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Robert Scott Bell, and I want to tell you about my great friends at Enterfood.com. Like me, the folks at Enterfood are fighting the good fight for your total health freedom. Their super green energy drink, Enterfood, is full of natural ingredients like spirulina and chlorella, which can improve your immune system and detox you from harmful radiation. Enterfood was voted best superfood by Mike Adams and the Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine. Enterfood.com is one-stop shopping for all your health and survival needs. Try their meal replacement product for those watching their weight. Organic immune support coffee, cocoa, coconut milk powder, and herbal tinctures for your every need. Innerfood.com now has developed a new survival preparedness pail packed with all organic, tasty, non-GMO foods to get you and your family through any disaster. All of these great products are now available to you for a 10% discount when you mention the Robert Scott Bell Show. Call them to order at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to our product page at Innerfood.com. That's Innerfood.com.
Making sense out of medical propaganda. Here's Robert.
Even though McDonald's pulled the pink slime, I'm loving it. What am I loving? No, not McDonald's. I'm loving this show. It's so good to be back in studio. I've been traveling like crazy the past couple of weeks. And Don, I just have to say it again. I know. I've acknowledged it already. Okay, I'm beating a live horse, which I would never beat. But here we go. We've got validation. Oh, I've been validated again.
Hey, we will take it wherever we can get it, right?
Well, you know, we don't look for that validation, but we're grateful anytime it comes through. That's true. As anybody
would
be.
Well, it's important. Whenever it comes up in the news, we need to make a note of this because there are so many times that we are coming out saying what we're saying and we are fighting an uphill battle.
Right, right. It's like,
and so anytime somebody comes out with something like this, we need to bring this people's attention just so they can save all the naysayers that are out there. You know, can stick it in their ear, because here's proof of the fact that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and we're not so – well, actually, we don't do politics here, do we? We do political healing
never,
here. There's a difference.
Never, never.
There's a difference between politics and political healing, because we don't put our finger up to the wind and go, which way is it blowing? Then let's report on it. Or wait until the science comes out and says what we sort of believe, but we don't want to go out on a limb and actually say it because we might be proven wrong, because no, we are not. We are consistently proven right. And here's a story off of Medical News Today, came out the other day. It was no antibodies required for immunity against some viruses. I'm like, dude, what took you so long? Come on, man. How many times have I lectured over the years and said that very thing, that antibodies, while they're good, I don't mind having them. I don't speak out against them. I don't protest against antibodies. But the whole vaccine cult depended upon the stimulation artificially of that which you don't even need naturally, but they're okay to have if you get them. Antibodies to respond, for instance, to viral proteins, viruses that they say are going to kill us all. They'll kill everybody. You got to have the vaccines. You must, or else it's wipeout time. And of course, this article goes to conclude what we've been saying. And in fact, we cover in great detail in the Vaccines Armed and Dangerous Seminar. My goodness, what are you waiting for? Download it. It's still $20 off. A new study turns the well-established theory that antibodies are required for antiviral immunity. It turns it upside down and reveals that an unexpected partnership between the specific and non-specific divisions of the immune system is critical for fighting some types of viral infections. Now, that's a long-ass sentence, and it's designed to confuse you. Let me just say it again. Antibodies do not prevent disease. Your immune system does more primary than even the development of those antibodies. There, was that a little simpler?
That makes a little more sense, yes.
Yeah, the research was published online in the journal Immunity by Cell Press, may lead to new understanding of the best way to help protect those exposed to potentially lethal viruses such as the rabies virus. Ooh, rabies, nasty stuff. But it acknowledges the two main branches. We talked about it in the seminar. If you haven't downloaded it, please do. Innate immunity and adaptive immunity. Innate immunity is first-line defense. That's healthy gut, healthy mucosa, saliva, lymphatic tissue, skin, hair, follicles, cilia. All of these things that they disavow any knowledge of when they sacrifice your child or a child at the altar of vaccinology, because they bypass it via injection or via toxic poisoning and suppression of the immune system so that no primary immunity, no innate immunity is possible. And so they're looking more, it's only adaptive. We need to get antibody-producing B cells into this mess. And that's the only way we'll survive. And, of course, this article, and you read it too, Don. I mean, it isn't that complicated. But then again, when you start reading these sentences, they go, they really don't want to make it too easy for people to understand this. And I'm thinking that they're going to attack
the
journal.
A lot of it was all Greek to me.
Okay.
But when you read through it, you know, you come away from it, well, I did anyway, that the reason why, and tell me if I'm wrong, but the reason why we've got the problems with disease is because scientists decided that they wanted to go in and figure out what it is that will prevent disease. Man was already preventing disease naturally before scientists decided to get it in there and try and be a big brainheads and figure out, well, no, this is what causes, no, but this is what causes disease. And it seems like things have become full circle where suddenly now they're not able to hide the fact that there are things about fighting disease that already exist in the body that you don't need a vaccine or a drug for. And what this article basically is saying is that, whoops, we don't know what we're talking about all of this time. Exactly. I mean, that really is what it ends up saying. Oops. Is that we don't know what we haven't known what we were talking about for all of these years. Oops, sorry, this doesn't really work. I mean, that really seems to me what it ends up telling you when you get done with this article.
Listen to this. This is great. This confirms everything I've been saying for so many years. Mice infected with vesicular stomatitis virus, a VSV, can suffer fatal invasion of the central nervous system even when they have a high concentration of anti-VSV antibodies in their system. Oh. So they acknowledge that even if you have the antibodies, it doesn't necessarily mean squat if you don't have an immune system.
There you go. So in other words, if we replaced anti-VSV antibodies with, let's say, flu vaccine, which, I mean, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I mean, isn't this what they're saying? Basically, that you can get the flu vaccine and you can still get sick from the flu.
That is absolutely an acknowledgement there. And they're talking about, I don't know if it's necessarily artificially induced VSV antibodies. I mean, it could be just regular antibodies. Hey, it looks like mice people have been exposed to this and they know what it is. They can identify it and do nothing about it and they still succumb. Now, Harvard scientist here, Dr. Ulrich H. von Andrian. This observation led us to revisit the contribution of adaptive immune responses to survival following VSV infection. Basically what you said, we goofed. We had no idea. How far is this going to go? They're probably going to have to shut down Harvard now because of the entire reason for the vaccine industry is being destroyed and dismantled by the science if you can put the pieces together like we do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And if you take it together, they conclude in this article. We're going to get to the moment of duh momentarily. This almost should be, but we're well beyond or well before moments of duh because this is not apparently obvious to most people. The moments of duh are obvious to just about everybody. I wish this were obvious to everybody, but taking together what they're saying here is there. Their results show that the essential role of B cells against this virus does not require adaptive mechanisms. In other words, they don't need antibodies. It's linked more with innate immune responses. And therefore, quote now, I quote, this is for time immemorial, our findings contradict the current view that antibodies are absolutely required to survive infections with viruses.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. Now they're going to have to say, well, it will still be important to dissect the role of antibodies and interferons in immunity, similar to, you know, so they're basically going to say, we've disavowed knowledge of that which we've just found because we cannot give up our cult-like religion.
Right.
I'm telling you, Don, this is an amazing find that you have discovered here. This story is sensational and only strengthens, again, not that I had any lack of confidence. Call me cocky, whatever you want, but I know this to be true. I know this to be factual, as I have for so long, which is why we speak with such certainty. When people go, how can you be so sure? Because I am, as well you should be. Now maybe you need this level of so-called science to be published, and now you can go, okay, Robert, now I'll admit it. You were right, because someone else published it with a PhD by their name. We don't give a flip whether you have a PhD by your name. You could be way smarter than the PhDs out there. In fact, many people actually are. They know how to play the game, but there is some good science being done. This is one of them, even though they don't fully understand their conclusion or want to acknowledge how devastating their conclusion is to their religion.
Now, the proof is out there, and this is a good example. Yeah, I mean, this article is Medical News Today. Now, the average person probably doesn't even know that Medical News Today even exists. It's not something that's probably on their bookmarks, mm-hmm. on their computer, in their, you know, in their browser. And this is not something that you're going to see on Drudge Report. Fox News is not going to report this. You know, you're not going to see this on TMZ or American Idol. So most people are not going to know about this. But, you know, fortunately, we are able to dig this stuff up. And
you know, Don, I realize that people can't get it in one segment. You know what? We can't do one show. We can't do a million shows all on this topic. People would get bored out of their minds, and there's so many more concerns that people have. That's why this show is, and I've used this term not loosely but appropriately, broadcasting. We don't narrowcast. There are a lot of health shows that do. We don't. We broadcast. We literally keep it the complete picture, the wide open 360-degree viewpoint to get all of this out. That's why we'll pepper it. But for those that want to go further and really embed into their own DNA this understanding of which we've just discussed, you've got to download. It is going to be the best money you've ever spent in protecting your kids, your grandkids, being able to communicate efficiently, effectively, stand tall, posture strong. You're going to be like the MMA super fighter. When somebody tries to say vaccines save the world, you're going to be able to counteract everything once you've listened to John Rappaport and Robert Scott Bell's seminar on the vaccines, armed and dangerous, all the things they don't want you to hear. There's a reason they don't want you to hear about it, even though the science is validating everything we've covered in that seminar.
Absolutely. And if you are interested in taking a look at that and checking it out, go to robertscottbell.com, upper right-hand corner. We put a banner up there so it's easy for you to find. And, I mean, we're talking over 10 hours of information covering absolutely everything about vaccinations, the causes of the true causes of the diseases that have prompted the so-called need by the scientific community to create vaccines, where those diseases came from, how, what to do if you are vaccinated, how to detoxify from, how to talk to people about, I mean, it's just everything is there, and it's so much information, and it's just all at your disposal, and you can listen to it at your own pace. You can stop and start it, go back and listen to it if there's something you didn't quite understand. It's an enormous amount of information, and you and John did an absolute fantastic job with that.
And the health ranger, Mike Adams, is still texting me, you know,
you've
got to give me a few minutes so I can make it into a video. So it's really cool, really awesome that's going on. Which brings us, you know, I don't want to complicate things too much. I don't like people's heads to hurt because sometimes I have to talk about fancy chemistry and scientific terms like dissociation, cell-mediated immunity, B cells we talked about. I want to make it simple. So here's a story that is so simple that we all get it. We should get it. But why do they need a scientific study to validate and verify it? I don't know. Perhaps because it's today's
moment of duh.
What are you people? On dope?
Amalgamated Association of Morons. Local 6 and 7-8.
You're crazy!
What is your major malfunction?
Yes, today's moment of duh, brought to you by those who would like to prevent heart disease but are not sure how to do so. Hey, a new study says, how about living healthier early in life? Oh my gosh, Super Don, that might actually prevent disease, specifically heart disease, later on. Could it be?
I love these stories when I see them. And it's so obvious when one pops up that I know this is a moment of duh. You don't even have to try. You start with the headline. Living healthy early may prevent heart disease later. Really? And so I'm thinking, all right, there's got to be more to this, right?
Yeah.
So I have to go to the next line. Here's the first line in the article. I'm thinking this will explain, you know, really how complicated this story is.
Help us
so
out.
So here's the first line.
Yeah.
New study finds that a healthy lifestyle in early adulthood can lead to a healthy heart in middle age.
That's a little complicated. Can you dumb that down a bit for me?
I mean, come on, really? So they did a study.
Yes.
And the results of the study were that if you live a healthy lifestyle in your early adulthood,
yes,
that you'll have a healthy heart later in middle age.
Well,
I'm absolutely relieved.
I'm flabbergasted.
I had no idea that it worked that way.
Didn't the researchers posit that living a life of smoking and sedentary and potato chips, that would lead to a healthier heart? I mean, was that where they started? I mean, were they surprised?
It does not make any sense. I don't know why they do this. You just shake your head and go, okay, thank you, Captain Obvious. And you know, pretty much move on. I'm sure that they're trying to use this study and this story to encourage people to live a healthy lifestyle. But it just seems to me that you don't need to do a study in order to convince people that if you don't eat crap and smoke and do drugs and drink alcohol, that it will help you later on in your life to be more healthy.
Here's what they say you really need to do, and some of it's like you said, Captain Obvious, maintaining a lean body mass index. The reason, and I want to moderate that a little bit. Now, I'm not into, you know, everybody should be fat and overweight, but the idea is if you're a little overweight, it's not a disease itself, especially if it's just because you like to eat a little bit more. Maybe it's not optimal, but as long as it's not toxic food and toxic fat we're talking about here. So I don't pick on fat people here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We don't. But avoiding excess alcohol intake. Okay, we know alcohol dehydrates you. That's going to create oxidative stress and aging. It also stresses your liver. Not smoking. Of course, they don't ever acknowledge that smoking, and Bruce Ames didn't acknowledge this either. Remember when I said to that guy, I said, what about the 1,000, 1,500 plus chemicals? Oh, yeah, don't worry about that. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah, where we got? My wife liked it too. She thought, I couldn't believe you didn't. Well, she was happy I didn't beat the guy up. Even my mom, super mom, commented on it and just couldn't believe it. She liked it when I said, oy vey. So, yes. But eating a healthy diet, regular exercise, of course, they never define healthy diet. They won't dare use the word organic. They won't mention the danger of GMOs. So there's some stuff that we can bring out.
Well, and if the USDA has anything to say about it, it'll be pink slime.
Of course, pink slime. Yes. This will help prevent heart disease later in life because ammonium hydroxide kills the bacteria known to cause it. Wait, maybe it doesn't. E. coli and salmonella. E. coli? Is that Coca E. coli?
E. coli,
Coca
yes.
E. coli. Drink Coca E. coli. Now with salmonella and E. coli. Oh, good Lord.
Anyway.
Where is this going? Anyway, hey, next hour, Super Don. What a show. Oh, my gosh. The son of filmmaker Oliver Stone. You know, he did JFK, and I guess didn't he do Wall Street? A number of other great films. Not all of his films are awesome, but certainly he's done some amazing ones. I think he did Platoon all those years ago. Was that his, too?
I believe it was, yes.
Yeah. Well, his son, Sean Stone, is very talented and very intelligent in his own right, was on the Piers Morgan show last week on CNN, and he actually did O'Reilly, too. And they were just going after him, saying, oh, he converted to Islam. He's an Iranian terrorist sympathizer. He met with Ahmadinejad. Well, we've got him for a full hour, exclusive interview. And we did this at the Health Freedom Expo. This is going to blow you away. Be prepared. Put your seatbelts on because we're going to talk about the history of conflicts on the planet, the controlling interests, the controlling elite. We'll talk about things like, yes, black magic and how it plays itself out today, not only through advertising, but through the power elite structure, sacrificial. It's horrible stuff that we've got to acknowledge still exists so you can see how we can break free from it. And it is a sensational interview. And Liam, my good friend and superhero cohort, he actually took over on the last segment. He did a great job with us because I had to run an interview, Mike Adams, for the Health Freedom Expo, get them all going there. But a sensational hour coming up, Super Don.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I actually Liam did an awesome job. He's becoming a pro. You've been a good trainer.
now he calls me Uncle Robert in a Facebook picture. Good Lord! Now, come on, let's get it. We got young energy here. We are rocking and rolling the health world as we do every day here on National News Radio. It's great to be back home in the home studio with Super Don on my. Are you my wingman? What are you? You're like, you make it sound so good every day. You're the sound effects guy, too, you know?
Yes, you just call me Goose.
Goose. Well, we got a lot of good things to do. A lot of good things to do. Stand by for an amazing interview you won't even hear on Coast to Coast AM with George Nouri. This stuff is hot. Stand by. Sean Stone coming up next hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Why? Because the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City and live streamed globally.
Why should you support? This benefit will be standing behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world.
Visit AliveNewYork.org today for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. Join the cause today and be the change.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just got out of hand.
Robert Scott Bell.
Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Special edition of the Robert Scott Bell Show recorded at the Health Freedom Expo, where health and freedom meet and just kind of blast off, and we're glad to be here. Of course, superhero sidekick Liam Sheff is in the remote mobile studio.
What is my superhero power?
Well, we're trying to figure that out.
Okay,
well, one
right.
is you're here. That's a superhero power. You're present. And right now we have with us present Sean Stone, who we saw on Piers Morgan last week, in fact, and a controversy abound because Piers says, oh my gosh, he's a Holocaust denialist, and on and on. I looked at this, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
You called him a Holocaust denialist?
Maybe because Ahmadinejad said something or didn't say something. Oh. He says he wants to wipe Israel out. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And I saw Sean. I was like, he knows the translation. I've seen that as well. We reported that.
Right.
So right now, he's joining us. Sean Stone, those of you who don't know Sean, you probably know his dad, Oliver Stone, the filmmaker, brilliant filmmaker. And Sean, thanks for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, understated as you are, they really, Piers kind of just did a little job on you, which is typical of the old media.
Well, I think I did a little job on him. I mean, if you watch some of the YouTube clips, it's always Sean Stone calls Piers Morgan a warmonger. And I think I ultimately got the best of him. But the point was that this is exactly how the media interprets things. They take an 8-minute discussion that ultimately he cuts short because he knows that I completely embarrassed him in terms of the knowledge that I had. Mm-hmm. So they then take that and condense it to one line saying, I don't care if Ahmadinejad believes in the Holocaust or what he thinks about the Holocaust, whatever the line was.
Right.
Because that was my line. The next line was, you know, I don't want to see a war. The point is, are you going to go to war over this question? And they take the previous line. So people who don't read the article or watch the whole segment then just see it as a blurb, oh, another kid who's denying the Holocaust or doesn't care about the Holocaust.
And Sean, of course, it belies the fact that FDR knew full well there was a Holocaust going on in Nazi Germany. So,
well, the British, the FDR, I mean, it's obviously, it's an historical issue as to whether or not what FDR was prepared to do about it, because obviously there was I heard there were issues like John McCloy running an aspect of the War Department, and they actually had intelligence regarding, you know, bombing the facilities at Auschwitz, mm-hmm. but because they were owned by, for example, IG Farben, which is basically
all the pharmaceutical
Rockefeller subsidiary, yeah. mm-hmm. and so because of that connection with DuPont and Rockefeller, there was pressure not to bomb the Auschwitz facilities, and they ultimately said, "Oh, we don't want to kill any of the workers there." But
right.
I think that was an excuse.
Let me be the obnoxious outsider. Is it true you converted to Islam?
I don't think you can convert if you believe in the same God. So I've always rejected this concept. I think that I accepted Islam. Mm-hmm. I believe that Muhammad is a prophet in the same tradition, going back to Abraham and Moses. And Muslims practice Mosaic law. They're frankly closer to the Jews than to the Catholics, at least. And I think that the biggest perpetuator of the idea that Muslims are antagonistic to anyone is the Catholic Church.
Huh.
So that's my answer, is that I am a Jewish Christian Muslim, yes.
So you're a Jewish Christian. Well, see, I'm a Hindu sympathizer. I don't know where that puts me in this bag.
Well, Gandhi was actually very sympathetic to Islam, and he wrote quite a bit about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he famously said, you know, that he's a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Christian, Jew, Muslim. He said that he sees Islam as as great a religion as his. He loved Muhammad the Prophet's, peace be upon him, his life story. And, you know, he actually says jihad is a ridiculous notion, because according to the scripture, it would take such a perfection of being and spiritual cleanliness to actually be in a state to achieve jihad, that almost no man could actually be in that position to do it.
Well, jihad, as I understood it from Muslims that were friends of mine, was a holy war, in a sense, within the person, within the spiritual conquest. It wasn't out here necessarily, but it was literally overcoming the negativity within yourself. And yet, we acknowledge there is something called terrorism, but we also acknowledge that the majority of it.
I mean, there are people who scream, "Death to America!"
But much of the terrorism is government sponsored. Government sponsored terrorism,
yes.
as well. And I'm talking about the things that our government, which has been hijacked in this case, has done around the world. And here you go to Iran, talk to Ahmadinejad. He's not a guy that has the ultimate power in Iran anyway. I mean, you know that. I mean,
yeah. He doesn't even have the same executive powers as our own president would have. In fact, the real struggle is between him and the supreme leader, as I understand it. And he's actually apparently more moderate even than the supreme leader faction. But, you know, all these guys are sophisticated and intelligent. They're even behind the supreme leader. There are other ayatollahs who, for example, are persisting in their antagonism towards Israel as an occupier state, mm-hmm. you know. And which, by the way, you know, many Jews also disagree with. It's like, you know, to say, I've seen Orthodox Jews say that they want the dissolution of Israel. It doesn't mean anyone's going to bomb Israel. Why would you sacrifice your own country, as I pointed out, as just on Piers Morgan? No one's going to sacrifice Iran and Persian history, which is 2,600 years old, for Israel. It doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you commit national suicide unless mm-hmm. we who are now in a state of war against Iran, which is economic warfare, right, sanctions and whatnot,
sure.
are trying to isolate them to the point of extremism. I think that's the most dangerous situation to me, is that if you isolate a country and you basically treat them as an outsider and a terrorist and you don't allow their economy to function, you are basically pushing them into a position to be much more extreme than if you actually
sure.
have trade and have some purpose together in a sense.
Congressman Ron Paul has said it just that you put sanctions on a country, that's a declaration of war.
It is.
He's no bones about it.
It's always been a declaration of war.
Right.
I mean, that's how you started a war, was by embargoing it and sanctioning it.
How did we draw Japan into so-called World War II? Was there not sanctions? I mean, brutal sanctions?
I thought... I'm sorry. I was thinking Transformers and Voltron. Keep going. Keep going. Just roll with it.
It's the movie thing. It's just because Sean's got some movie blood in him. I know you go right.
I'm sorry. You know,
but his dad made some movies that were a lot better.
Let me just say, JFK, I think, is the seminal movie in the history of American cinema. And I know, you don't want to hear about it, but the thing knocks me out every time. And you do the back end research, and you go and you actually read the annotated script, and then you follow up all the details, and you go, man, that guy. Nobody's done this. This is a treatise. You know, this was a major work. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm a fan.
Well, me too. I enjoy it. Every time I watch it, it takes me deeper and deeper into the labyrinth. And I'm just amazed that an American population that can watch a film like this and start to think in that level mm-hmm. could then devolve to this culture now, which just accepts media propaganda and, you know, constant fears of war and terrorism and these government-created propaganda to create a security state, which we now live in, a state of martial law, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
But what did Ahmadinejad really say, if he didn't say...
Wipe Israel off the map.
Wipe Israel off the map. I mean, where does this come from?
Yeah. It's actually, I think it's a quote from Khomeini, referring, and actually a friend of mine in Iran was works for Press TV. He's written speeches. He actually wrote this speech for Ahmadinejad. So the quote from Khomeini was to the effect that the regime that occupies Jerusalem would be wiped from the page of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a poetic quote. By the way, the Persians are very poetic people. And in fact, in order to understand the Quran, both the Arabs too, because the Quran itself is poetry. But the essential idea is they're occupying Jerusalem, which historically has belonged to the three religions. And the fact that Jerusalem still occupies it, it occupies the West Bank, they don't acknowledge, let's say, to this point, the right of Israel to exist. I disagree with them on that in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's existed now. It's not going to go away. I think you have to deal with the 48 borders and go back to that. But they have a point in the sense that they hate the fact that America consistently, you know, blocks UN resolutions that are opposed to Israel. I mean, almost every other country in the world, you know, will vote on something, and the other four Security Council states will vote, and then America will block it consistently. It's like America has this so-called, you know, special relationship. It's basically what's the exact word? But it's essentially unwavering support, or there's unwavering support for Israel, and that's upsetting to people who know this region.
Sure.
Because the point is, why do we treat Israel as a 51st state? I mean, we're a nation. I believe with Washington, there are no entangling alliances. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Israel or Great Britain, which, is, by the way, is another story we should talk about.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned the presidential powers in Iran. He doesn't have the power that the American president does. Heck, the American president is not supposed to have the powers that the American president is exerting.
Right.
You know, going beyond the judicial and a legislative branch to basically not declare war, but go into all of these countries and occupy them.
Well, executive orders have been a serious problem in this regard. Once the president can just issue an executive order overriding judiciary and the as you said, the legislative branches, now you're in a position of autocracy, essentially. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, I mean, we know we're living in a state of martial law because the president enacted this National Defense Authorization Act of 2012,
yes,
which says even U.S. citizens can be targeted by the military and arrested indefinitely.
Is this enough to get progressives to come to the table right now to realize that this guy is not their guy?
This should be enough to tell everyone in the country we should impeach this guy right now because he's a lunatic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact is, the things that he stands for and says, I mean, he's being as belligerent as possible in Iran, even though his own Joint Chiefs of Staff are saying this is not prudent, that this is a very potentially destructive action in this region. They know the consequences, as I've tried to say on Russia Today, for example. It will mean World War III. If you think it's very casual to go and bomb countries, we've become very jaded about that.
Armchair TV warfare where you don't see any of the real bloodshed.
Exactly. But what happens if you just start launching bombs into Iran? Well, what happens if Hezbollah and Hamas, for example, unleash on Israel? Because that's Iran's strategy. They're gonna mine, you know, the
Straits of Hormuz,
and then that could take 5 years, for example, just to demine it if they do that. And of course, they have irregular warfare potential in place. I mean, they're not going to take this lying down. It's not to say that they're going to win, but
right,
the point is also Russia has said we are not going to accept an overthrow of these regimes. Obviously, we're trying to overthrow Syria, which is, I mean, if you think about the logic of this, the President Obama is as bad as Bush. He's saying that Assad should be overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
This is a sovereign leader of a state. What are you trying to create? How much chaos are you trying to unleash in this region? You're bringing in Mujahideen like we did in the Afghanistan in the 80s?
Yeah, we got concerns, of course, you know, like some of the people running for president that don't even understand what happened in 1956 when they overthrew the legitimate leader of Iran and then placed
53.
It was 53, I apologize, yes. And so we're at a point where we've not learned, what, 57, 8 years later? We're at 59? We still haven't figured this out?
Well, it's a British imperial policy. I mean, I got to study this a little bit at college, and I wrote my thesis about how the British Empire preserved itself in the lingo of the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And they created the United Nations, for example, to serve this end, the environmentalist movement largely to serve this end, the idea of that there are no sovereign nation states. That's always been the impetus. You use the IMF, for example, and their austerity programs and the World Bank's loans to keep the nation states in debt to an international financial system.
Mm-hmm.
You use the environmentalists to tell them that you cannot have nuclear power. You cannot have our level of technology. You are backward people. You know, there's a technological apartheid, we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the United Nations was initially designed to preserve the empire by allowing basically the British, American, and their allies to keep the newly independent colonies from having, like, essential sovereignty over themselves. Roosevelt would have seen it in the different sense. He would have seen it actually as trying to spread the New Deal. He actually was trying to he hated the British Empire, by the way. Roosevelt, according to his son, Elliot, was consistently telling his son about that the British were as dangerous, if not more, than the Nazis.
Hmm.
And because of this liberal fascism. And how you can see the liberal fascism is London now, which is a completely... It's a big brother state with security cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes, literally everywhere, yes.
There's no constitution. It's all based on common law.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's they have this sort of semblance of being benign and open. But meanwhile, here's the irony. There was a great book done like 6 years ago called Londonistan, right? And everyone who knows London calls it Londonistan because they've been harboring all these extremist terrorist groups like Algerian fronts or Islamic Jihad or Muslim Brotherhood groups. And they harbor them in London. And oftentimes, even like the killer of Daniel Pearl, for example, the mastermind was based out of London. Mm-hmm. Many of these guys are based there. And then it's always alleged, oh, this is because the British are so open and liberal that they can't tell these terrorists to leave and they can't arrest these people because they're just liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, have you studied the British Empire? Do you want to know what liberalism is? I mean, this is a liberalism that's wiped out millions of Chinese and Indians, for example, the Opium Wars or the Indians using their systems of famines and whatnot. It's not about that. It's a policy of using terrorism selectively, the way that we've worked with the British, for example, now in Syria, bringing al-Qaeda elements and Mujahideen terrorists from abroad to try to destabilize Assad. Assad is a sovereign secularist ruler, and we're working with the radical Islamic factions against him.
Mm-hmm.
But those Islamic factions are supposed to be our enemies. That's the whole point.
Yes.
You're living in a doublethink world. The Saudis, who are the biggest promoters, like the British, of fanatical terrorists, are our closest allies. But the Iranians, who really are only working with Hezbollah, who is a political party in Lebanon, and, I mean, there might be certain actions of terrorism, but for the most part, they've been defending Lebanon since the Israeli invasions of the 70s and 80s, and they've been the most effective fighting force against the Israeli invasions, by the way. They're considered the terrorists. But you see, there's no logic to it. The logic is simply, if you're our ally, we'll basically, you know, we'll preserve you and we'll let your terrorist factions work with us in overthrowing people and getting basically to some kind of war policy that we need. So I think that also gives you a sense of what happened with 9/11, that there's some kind of insider momentum there to get us to a national security state.
So I got a question after the break.
Yes, we got to take a quick break here. Sean Stone is our guest, recorded at the Health Freedom Expo. All the things you will not hear in the old media, you will hear uncensored here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Stand by for more.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
We're back, and we continue now with Sean Stone, Liam Sheff, of course. Did you hear Sean? He said 9/11. Uh-oh.
Clearly, he's not making any sense. He's just making facts up as he... Well, okay, it sounds like he knows some of the things he's talking about. Most of it. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
If Barry Soweto... What's his name? Barack Obama.
I get confused.
Barry Soweto, right?
I get confused. If our dear...
We should open up some aerobic shows.
Dancing president.
Soweto like Barry.
You know, Beyonce liked him, and if she likes him, he can't be all bad.
Oh, that's exactly indicative of the Illuminati power structure right there. That just told me a lot. Thank you.
If Bouncy likes him, then he's all right. So my question is, if we're pushing up against Syria and pushing up against Iran, and it's really a terrible idea, and even people, as did you say, on the Joint Chiefs are saying, not a good idea.
Well, Dempsey has clearly said that, absolutely.
If that's so, who's pulling the strings? Because, I don't think Barry Obama is saying, I want to become president, go to war. I think he's saying, my masters are telling me to do things. So
yeah.
Who's pulling the strings? What's the goal?
Oof. I don't know how many realities you guys are really willing to go into.
Go ahead. And 9/11, by the way, was an intelligence operation. We talk about that all the time. So.
Indeed. In fact, watch the new season of Conspiracy Theory.
Yeah.
We get into it. Jesse gets into a new theory regarding how the towers came down so rapidly. And it's not he thinks it's not the controlled demolition, but actually some kind of death ray technology that would have targeted the metal. And that's why so many cars blew up in the perimeter around the Trade Center, because it was like a microwave that was designed just to target the metals, and so that's why you'd see like the metals burning and the paper was and the rubber was still flying and the leather was not damaged. Well,
this is going to be wild. We're going to have to get Jesse back on here to talk about the new season too.
Yeah, that'll be coming up soon. Hopefully, the network's has been like back and forth a little bit, but I think we're coming out in the spring now. So
okay.
Keep your eyes out for it.
I'm sure they're going to be nervous.
Well,
season.
So I've seen this right, mm-hmm. The sound cannon thing. Right.
I'm not sure if that's the exact one. It's Meredith Wood, I think is her name, did a book called What Happened to the Towers. And that's kind of the basis for one of the
I know
stars.
It. Thank you. We just made money.
Somebody bought
one of our posters.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Two. Look at that.
Two of our posters.
And look, they're all 9/11. The towers are coming down.
That's right.
But you know what? I looked at that. I read it. I went into the details a little. It just didn't. You know, Steve Jones pulls the nanothermite chips out of there. He explodes them. They're still explosive. I'm willing to give that credence. I sometimes, you know, people want to go, well, the Illuminati from the aliens who live in the moon. And I go, just wait a second. Wait. Let me keep my feet on the ground. Let me hold the thing in my hand. Let me see if I can. What? They found? I mean, they found round, melted droplets. Cooled, condensed droplets of steel all throughout the thing. Can you imagine that? And people don't want to call that an explosion. Like a high temperature. Mm-hmm. So,
the idea is that the microwave energy was directed at the metal and obviously heated them to that condition of rapidly blowing. And that's why normally in like a controlled demolition, you would see about a third the size of the building would still be in rubble. And in this case, it was dustified.
I
think
know.
That's the most fascinating part about
nobody
the
ever did a
disappearance of the towers, right?
Nobody ever did a military grade nanothermite explosion, as far as I know. Anyway, nobody will know, and people
right. And they shipped off all the metal to scrap to China. But actually, Jesse says that was never shipped.
Never shipped
because there was nothing there.
Oh,
that was
so it was all pulverized.
Well, I mean,
nothing
exactly.
There
was nothing to
ship.
Well,
they pulled something out of the wreck. They did fill a lot of dump trucks. I mean, Giuliani was saying, "Get those dump trucks out of here. Mm. We don't need to inspect those." This is a fantastic thing.
I might be wrong when I say that there was nothing there. They may have shipped it, but the point was Jesse was trying to get down there. No one could actually do a forensics on it. So as you said,
he tried to get into the hangar.
You're trying to basically do forensics. You know, you have a crime. You normally do forensics on the crime, don't you?
Sure.
You don't just ship the evidence abroad.
Well, and
get rid of it.
That's the point of finding out. And you know, of course, when they attacked anybody, including Ron Paul, when he talks about motivation, who had the motivation to do this? If you're investigating any crime, you've got to have that to understand who could have perpetrated this. I mean, it only makes sense. But that was completely prohibited from any investigation.
Well, the perpetration of it, you see, it becomes very fascinating because you get into a world of the Saudi government, their ties obviously to British intelligence dating back to the origins of the Saudis, and obviously the high levels of the American intelligence, because whoever did it, as Webster Tarpley pointed out, and he actually, in his book on 9/11, and then his update on it, there were so many war games going on simultaneously.
Right.
Who knew about this? Who knew this was the day for these exact replica style war games of hijacked planes, and the fact that there was a stand down orders? Who could give these kind of stand down orders? Because, you know, we realistically, we know there's no way that these planes could go missing for that period of time without any kind of intervention from our Air Force. Because NORAD is under, I'm sorry, not just NORAD, but the FAA is now under military control. It's not just civilian anymore. And actually, remember Colonel Fletcher Prouty was a big.
Right.
He actually made a big deal about this back in the 80s. He said that this is a big problem. That's actually how a lot of drug running took place during the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the books regarding, like, you know, Barry Seal's drug operation through Mena, Arkansas, talks about how he could shift off, basically he would use a code that would shift off certain security apparatuses so that their planes would fly in and no one would ever have monitored or tracked the fact that these drug planes were coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And so on record, it's like, well, there's no evidence that these planes were flying drugs because there were no planes.
Doesn't it just make you kind of laugh that Barry Seal was in the same civilian air guard as David Ferry and Lee Harvey Oswald? I mean,
I don't think you can laugh. I think there's something obviously to that, right?
I mean,
you know, so
laugh in a kind of internally chuckling.
It's so obvious, right?
It's so obvious. Like, no. He was a lone nut assassin who happened to only work with CIA.
Well, there's another great book actually by Baker. I think Judith Varian Baker. She was the her last name is Baker anyway. She did a book last year called Harvey and Me, or Me and Oswald, but it's her memoir from that time period, the summer before the assassination, as she was Oswald's mistress in New Orleans. And so she talks a lot about his intelligence contacts, and she was told certain things from him, but she also speculates, but she's pretty clear that he was trying to help prevent the assassination, as my dad speculated in JFK with that, when he goes to talk to the FBI guy. Mm-hmm. She thinks that he actually helped stop an assassination attempt that would have taken place in Chicago.
There was an assassination attempt, yeah. And did you say Chicago?
Yeah, I think it was Chicago was the city. Because there were three cities. There was Miami, Chicago, and Dallas. Apparently, that we know of, right? Where they basically had potential spots for assassination. That's the way you would do it. I mean, you wouldn't just have one hitman, obviously. You always have a team.
Backups and backups and backups. So
absolutely,
make sure it happens.
So who's pulling Barry Soweto's strings? Why clash the East with the West and the West with the East?
What's deep does the rabbit hole go, or how high up to the moon does it go? Where does it go?
Perhaps it goes back to Babylon, and you know, the issue of the priestcraft, the priest society, and their concept of using magic to control society. They say, you know, I believe that the British Empire has preserved that same tradition. We know from certain people, like I think his name is Dietrich. He used to work with Aquino, Michael Aquino, the Temple of Set guy at the Air Force Base up in San Francisco, Presidio.
Mm-hmm.
Aquino basically started the Temple of Set, which was a satanic temple within the military. And he was an interesting guy because he had a lot of intelligence clearances. He was but he was also practicing black magic openly. And his guy came out recently talking about this, Dietrich, who was running the library there at the Presidio. And he, as a military person, he had access to all these books about demon rituals. And mm-hmm. we call in the East, they're called jinn, J-I-N-N. In the West, we call them genies. But the West doesn't talk so much about the genies as the East does. And the jinn are basically conjured through rituals, going back to the Temple of Solomon, King Solomon, which the Masons worship, essentially, and are imitating. So by conjuring these jinn, you basically make deals with them. And that's why blood sacrifice is necessary. That's why the allegations about, you know, sacrificing children and or even
animals. You know, Liam uncovered this happening at the Incarnation Children's Center in New York.
In 2004, I do a lot of the work on the concept of HIV and AIDS, and they sell people the idea that this is a sex disease. People in Africa are starving to death, don't have any clean water, and the people who got sick in America were abusing their bodies and drugs so badly they had no colon, no intestines left. They got every fungal infection that came along. And then the guys working at the National Cancer Institute said, oh, maybe you have a virus that we can't purify or really find that's wily and fragile and all this other crap. You don't have cancer, so we'll say it does something else. Meanwhile, they totally excluded 10 years of absolutely self-abusive gut-destroying living. Then they expanded the groups. They go then to the hemophiliacs. Oh, they don't have a reason to be sick, please. Then they go to the IV drug users. Oh, heroin users usually live long, healthy lives. Then they go to the poor people in Africa, and they all say they have the same sex disease. So they go to these kids in New York, who the Dominican kids on 168th, 172nd, you know, from the Dominican Republic, and they're up there. And these are the orphans of the crack trade from the 80s, and all these kids are being born addicted to crack. The National Institutes of Health goes, well, there's an orphanage here for these crack babies whose mothers just leave them. Let's experiment on them and call them AIDS babies. And the liberals go, oh, thank God, they're getting their AIDS drugs. The AIDS drugs are black box labeled, which means they have killed adults at normal doses. Mm. They combine 7 or 8 at normal. They call it normal than higher doses. So I read this stuff on clinicaltrials.gov. I get it published in a variety of publications. The New York Times calls me for an interview, and I'm so naive. I tell them everything. They write, they take 3 sentences that I said about having a friend who studied macrobiotics, and that's the only thing.
Only thing like, they report. Kind of like you on Piers Morgan. It still happens.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
But they killed hundreds of kids. And they admit that hundreds of kids died, but they say that it couldn't have been the
drugs. They put tubes in their stomachs for the kids that refused to take the drugs. This is sacrifice.
Yeah,
this is child sacrifice.
Well, in a sense, that is. Yeah. But so obviously the more overt version was at Presidio, where there were allegations, by the way, by the kids at that time in the 80s against Aquino, and then the army basically, you know, hushed it up. But the point is that when his guy came out recently, Dieter or Dietrich, I forget his name exactly, but I'm in contact with him, and he was explaining how Aquino would come to him for books about the demon, you know, demon worship, and this is, you know, in Latin. He would basically, they were trying to practice in Latin and in Enochian and various languages. He explained to him the reason. He said, look, the British Empire made a deal with these jinn, these demons. Goes back to John Dee when he initially launched. He was Queen Elizabeth's chief intelligence operative, and he was very influential with her in launching the British Empire, but he was practicing Enochian magic, he called it. He wrote about this, and he believed that he had actually invoked angels, but they could also have been jinn or, you know, demons, and they made a bargain, essentially. So the whole history of the British Empire is an issue of what we call now the Illuminati, or the high level.
We've seen it in popular culture and movies. For instance, the recent Sherlock Holmes thing, you saw the first one that they did with Robert Downey Jr., right? They did a lot of this magic involved with the Empire stuff. And so a lot of this is borrowed from fact and fictionalized, but what we see is that weaving in modern movie making all of these historical facts.
Precisely. And so the fact that London, but the idea is the British demons gave are now still being preserved by the Americans, and actually, but we're still subservient. I've been told by 2 Jin people from both the East and West that the British Queen is still the head. That's why her crown is full of these stones. That's actually how she has power over the Jin, and she tries to command the world from her crown. She also sits, by the way, on some kind of Egyptian stone under her throne. It goes back to ancient Egypt. And then when Obama went there, someone said to me, watch the video of him going there. If you want to know who really is his master, watch his behavior, his relationship to her.
You're saying, literally, that we really still live, this is where you're coming from, that we still really live in an age of necromancy, of
exactly
people believing in or conjuring. Mm-hmm. You're saying we're spirits in a material world, and people use some of the spiritual avenues for truly nefarious purposes? I mean, that's what you're telling.
Well, for power. I mean, the idea is that's what I think 9/11 was about. It was a sacrifice, a ritual sacrifice of the two towers of masonry. So I think that's part of what the meaning was. Also, the fact that the pentagram, which is the five-sided star of Solomon, which you use for conjuration, that Pentagon was the one that was hit, is indicative of what happened. Now, you know, it's symbol, but it's also real, because obviously 9/11 was used physically to catapult us into this age of terror and war, which is really not, there's external terror, but most of it is internal terror. The fact that we're being terrorized by our media, by our politicians, we're being terrorized into a state of terror, as opposed
fear.
To recognizing that, as FDR said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right. And that, again, that is the black magic.
And big angry monsters with teeth.
Yeah, of course. The GMO monsters that we talked about.
The GMO monsters.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I've got to run, guys. Can you do another segment together? Would you mind, Liam, take over?
Yeah. You'd
be good?
Do
another 50 minutes or so? I appreciate that. And I've got to take care of Mike Adams is Skyping into the Health Freedom Expo. I got to run and take care of that. Special interview here. Grateful. Enjoying it immensely with Sean Stone. These are some things I know they're pushing the envelope for a lot of people out there, but I've interacted with these people that verify what Sean's saying for many years, and it's too horrific. horrific. You know, there were times when I was learning this many years ago, I didn't want to get out from under the covers when I realized how the world was operating. Now, that's not mean we're going to be all doom and gloom about this, and I hope that you guys will end on a little bit of positive note, uplifting some things,
well,
too.
Well, you know, that's my message, is ultimately, you know, you create the conditions of your own existence. If you if you want to sacrifice, you know, to demons for your material benefit, you will end up in a tormented state, in a state of hell. If you actually want to give unto God, and what is God's, basically, if you want to honor what is best in us to be a good human being,
beautiful,
and basically in the imitation of Christ and, you know, the prophets, I think that you will live a much happier, healthier existence.
That is the choice we're being given. Sean Stone, I'm grateful that you're here. Liam, you're going to take over for me next segment. I'll be back to wrap it up after that, but appreciate you being here. Stand by. Lots more healing to go on all levels on The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Are you looking for a whole food that will have a positive impact on your health? Guaranteed. Do you suffer from an autoimmune disease like diabetes, Crohn's, arthritis, heart disease, allergies, and more? ImmuneTree Colostrum is the only true third-party certified, tested organic colostrum. Hello, I'm Dr. Anthony Kleinsmith, PhD, founder of the world's most bioactive colostrum, which is free of pesticides and hormones. Colostrum is Mother Nature's perfectly formed, natural nanotechnology for balancing the body and helping with rejuvenation, regeneration, immune enhancement, and regulation. It contains all of the anti-aging factors, immune factors, essential factors, and metabolic factors. This first food gives you what you need for youth, health, and vitality. Call us today at 888-617-8733 or visit us online at www.immunetree.com. That's 888-617-8733 or www.immunetree.com.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
And we are back at the Health Freedom Expo. This is Robert. No, Robert is hosting. He's introducing Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, at a live satellite feed. And I'm here very happily with Sean Stone, recently on Piers Morgan talking about Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad. Oh,
I'm a dinner jacket. As they like to mock him in Wall Street.
I'm a dinner jacket. Who apparently didn't say wipe Israel off the map. You're saying that he was Ms. being misquoted. You're saying you said that
I mean, he favors the dissolution of Israel, which is, as it now stands, is an occupier of the West Bank, holds Jerusalem, and you know, is not abiding by the 67 borders. So if you were, for example, to dissolve the Soviet Union, which happened, you would end up with Russia, and it still exists. If you were to dissolve the Israeli state as it now exists, it could go back to, let's say, the 48 or 67 borders, which is many people in the world agree with. So, you know, I think you have to take his argument in context, which actually goes to a much more interesting point. Netanyahu, apparently, a couple weeks ago, stated to a German newspaper while he was in Switzerland that there is no Lebanon on the new map of the Middle East that they're drafting.
So Benjamin Netanyahu, the PM of of Israel, says
the head of Israel says there's no Lebanon on the map of the new map that they have of the Middle East. And President Suleiman of Lebanon, of course, took great offense to this, and he said, "We kicked your butts." And I mean, I'm paraphrasing him, but he said, "We kicked your butts a few years ago. You know, how dare you question our sanctity as a state?" So the whole point is, why didn't the Western media pick that statement up? And what is Netanyahu? I'll call him Yahoo because he's to me he's a much very dangerous personality. In fact, even Obama doesn't like the guy, right? He called him a bastard or something. The point is that Yahoo is is referring to what I think is Greater Israel, and this we've heard of. I mean, I was in Israel 10 years ago, and I actually got to meet Netanyahu and Shimon Peres, who had Barak with my father. He was doing a documentary on the Israel-Palestine question. And in the course of these discussions, we, you know, the issue of Greater Israel would come up because to the right-wing extremist faction of the Zionists, Greater Israel goes from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. And at least that would be their ideal dream state for Israel. And if not, they want to secure that region.
Let's do that again. Greater Israel goes from the Nile to the Mediterranean.
Did you? Euphrates. The Euphrates River in Iraq. And
so it essentially takes over the Fertile Crescent. Let me get this straight. The Greater Israel is the old Middle East?
It's there. Well, it's
cradle of civilization?
It could be. I mean, don't forget the Promised Land is a set kind of indefinite promise. To some Jews and Zionists, the great, you know, Israel actually deserves to have the region from the Nile, west of the Nile, or north of northwest of the Nile, all the way to the Euphrates River in Iraq.
Man, why are we still in this 2,000-year-old ancient nonsense? I mean, come on, why don't we live in a modern place where people... I grant the right of Israel to exist. I grant the right of Palestine to exist. What is this voodoo stuff? What are we doing?
Well, you're dealing, don't forget, with... Again, I think this goes back to ancient Babylonian-style priestcraft, Babylon and Egypt both, and their conception of power. You know, what Greater Israel really means, it's a destabilizing factor. I mean, this faction, whether or not, they're not a majority that want this, but they're a small, like, neoconservative grouping. And what they see is potentially as an opportunity to grab this region. Obviously, I mean, when we invaded Iraq, you know, Shimon Peres said, "You just secured our border," because Iraq is on the Israeli border. He said, you know, "Thank you.
Shimon Peres of Israel said,
you just secured our border. You see.
Thanks, America."
Exactly.
Your kids are footing the bill, your citizens are footing the bill, and your teenagers who get suckered into this thing are dying. Mm. Thank you.
But
we'll send you some hummus.
Are they really securing the border? My argument is no. These destabilization operations of sovereign states, and it goes back to like Nasser, for example, in the 50s, right? When Nasser was an Arab nationalist, secular, completely opposed to the Islamic...
Nasser of Egypt?
Of Egypt, was completely opposed to these extremist Islamic factions. And what do the British use? They use the Muslim Brotherhood, who are still around, right, who are now taking over Egypt, finally. They've been suppressed for many years by the more nationalist forces, but by intelligence agencies and financiers, especially from, let's say, the Saudi side, trying to encourage these guys, they essentially helped to destabilize what was the secular state of Egypt. I mean, this began over 50 years ago, I'm saying, under Nasser's Egypt, because Nasser, as a nationalist, was a great danger to the concept of empire. Empires hate nation states. Mm. So wherever you find nation states and you find sovereign rulers who want to basically... I mean, not to say that these guys aren't sucking away money for themselves, and they, you know, they're not corrupt.
Right.
But if they ever have projects that want to industrialize their country, for example, to bring up the standard of living for their people, to do something positive in this regard, and actually be a model of a nation state, they tend to get overthrown.
Mm.
You know, and that's what we saw from, you know, Nasser ultimately wasn't overthrown by that so much as by his own hubris, perhaps. But the point is that from him forward, there's always been this policy of using the Islamic, the right-wing Islamic radical factions, the ones who support Sharia law, against the nationalists. And that's what you saw from Nasser through Saddam Hussein in Iraq. You see it now, right now in Syria, with the destabilization of Assad. And the point is that people don't realize if you're blowing these countries up, you are radicalizing groups, Sunni and Shia both, and then the various sects within them. You're going to create more sectarian violence. In Iraq now, for example, in Iran, you know, I was reported this many times, that the Iraqis are saying, we never thought of each other as Sunni and Shia like we do now.
Wow.
Now we're like so conscious of it because the Ba'ath Party was secular and it was ruling with a strong hand and it kept the nation together. For better or for worse. But the point was that it was a secular regime.
Right.
And Saddam was opposed to the sectarian factionalism. And now it's been encouraged. And now you have complete consciousness of Sunni, Shia, the Christians have all fled Iraq. And so what happens if this policy continues across into Syria?
Jump into that. If Syria blows up,
Lebanon will too. Because don't forget, that's historically, Syria and Lebanon have been historically tied together. They were, at times, you know, they were ruled jointly by the French. And historically, they've been kind of one country, which is why Syria has such a big influence over Lebanese politics to this day.
All right. Head spinning. So, I got to claim it. I'm an American. We all have to claim this. You know, people out there say, well, I didn't vote for the war. Yeah, you did. If you didn't protest for it, and if you're not protesting it now, you're voting for it.
Right.
Our intervention in the Middle East I even wrote an editorial. I said, you go over there, you blow up a lot of people over there, you have a mountain of skulls, you plant an American flag into it, you give them a target and an enemy. It's just grade school arithmetic. Everybody understands this.
Right.
But you're saying we're increasing sectarian. In other words, Saddam Hussein may have been a bastard, but he said, we're secular, we're not going to kill each other for religious reasons. And that's maybe what you need in a climate like that, somebody who's a little bit tough. I'm not going to excuse somebody for killing anybody, but maybe he was the leader that they wanted.
That we won for a certain period of time, too, don't forget.
Time.
I mean, we did back him. And the Shah before him. But the point is that these secular rulers have all been overturned, and frankly, with British and American intelligence, either overtly through war or covertly through revolution, backing these religious radicals. And so what you're getting is a climate for World War III. And what this brings me back to, actually, I read this many years ago, and I never quite believed it until now.
Right.
But I remember Albert Pike, who was a very high-level Mason, 32 degrees or higher here in the States. He was actually one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. He was running the Scottish Rite Freemasonry. He was fighting, you know, Civil War general, basically, with the South.
I don't know this guy, Albert Pike.
Yeah,
so
very famous figure. And actually, within the Illuminati,
he's
considered Illuminati status, which is basically a level, very an ascended person within Masonry.
Someone who's
almost beyond the Masonic structure, let's call it.
He's a player.
He's a big player.
Hate the player and the game.
Exactly. So, you know, he's someone basically who outlined in his dogma and ritual of Masonry and said that we worship Lucifer. And that was his explanation of the actual Masonic creed. If you know the higher levels, we actually believe that Lucifer is God. So, the God of this world, don't forget, which the Christians have they intimated in terms of the Bible. There's a lot of notions that Lucifer is the God of this world, but then God is the creator of all, and that's a transcendent power.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. We here at Alive believe in health freedom and God's gift of choice. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual celebrity health and eco benefit in New York City.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world to give the people a voice that has not had a chance to be heard.
Did you know the number one killer in America is suicide by lifestyle from lack of education and know-how? We can change this. Stand with us in this mission of hope and healing to reach at least 1 million people worldwide. Attend the event live or watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Please visit AliveNewYork.org for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. We the people hold the key to our destiny. Are you willing to unlock the door?
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Yeah, this is a very, now suddenly we're in the very spiritual again. Now, Lucifer the light bearer,
yeah.
I mean, are we defining this correctly? If we're talking Lucifer, the Latin is the bearer of light. I'm not an expert on this, and
yeah.
Write your letters, by the way, write your letters to Robert Scott Bell, care of the Liam Chef segment, and you can write all your complaints. So what these guys are saying is this is a fallen world. Let's worship the darkness.
Yeah, the fallen angels. You see, there's a tremendous tradition. If you go back to the Book of Enoch, which is one of the hidden books of the Bible that was suppressed
right.
by the Council of Nicaea, the Book of Enoch talks about how the fallen angels were the ones who taught us initially black magic, like agriculture, weaponry, and metallurgy, and many of the crafts that we now are able to work upon the world, but they also taught us black magic. And so they've always had this interaction with the world. And then, you know, that the question, are fallen angels the jinn I was referring to, the demons I was referring to? I'm not entirely sure. But I do know that the fallen angels play a major role in the Freemasonic structure in their thinking. And so, yes, the fallen angels are the rulers to the minds of the masters of this world, the people who rule this world physically. They interact with the fallen angels insofar as they're making deals constantly. They're doing rituals and they're doing practices. I mean, for example, this. The assassination of Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Whether or not that was him, the point was, why do they choose this day? It was April 30th, May 1st, right, when they announced it, which is Walpurgisnacht, which is Sabbath. Now, that's interesting. Because
what is it? What not?
The witch's Sabbath, Walpurgisnacht, in German. It's a witch's Sabbath, basically.
Wow.
Where the witches reign for one night, and then they go to sleep. And that's really what it was. It was the witch is dead, and then the following week, it was long live the king, because the king of England, William, the future king of England, William, was married. This is all very ritualistic.
Wait. The future king of England was married on, what, May?
I think it was like May 1st or something. It was
right after that.
Yeah. It was the same week.
This is clever. This is like a Harry Potter movie. Wait a second. Hold on a second. Wait a second. Long live the king. Okay. In our remaining 4.5 minutes of a mind-blowing, fascinating interview, believe me, you're giving me things to think about. It's starting to... Ow. Let's talk troops on the ground. What's going to be happening in the United States? What's going to be happening in the world? Make a prediction.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wanted to say about Albert Pike. The point was that this guy is
quick,
a high...
One
yeah.
quick thing. I'm telling you, people out there, your video games, your 35-year-olds playing video games, they are controlling your mind. And this black magic you're talking about,
yeah.
I'm telling you, it's right there in your Xbox. It's
sure.
a waste of your mind
it's
and
energy.
Your time.
See, black magic is a bad word. It's just energy. It's energy work. That's all it is.
You're
How do you focus your mind? Where does your energy go? Is your energy going to idol worship, to music controlled by these groups of people that basically put you in a certain mind frame? Video games that put you in a certain mind frame, they control your states as opposed to when you're able to, like, read, for example, slow down, go to nature, go think about the world, open your mind.
Unplug.
Unplug, and then you control your energy in a much more positive way.
Exactly.
You can, at least, if you
choose.
I
like that. It's energy. You know, because people are going to go, black magic, what are they talking? We're talking about your energy. Where do you put your energy? You know, kids today now put their energy into sitting on their expanding rear ends, eating GMO food, going onto a television and pretending their SEAL team something, blowing up children and women in an Arab country. Give me a break. This isn't what Ronald Reagan said about hand-eye coordination.
No, this is preparation for World War III, which is global war. And by the way, if anyone objects to the idea that we are energy, just remember Einstein's equation. Energy is matter and mass. That's what we are. We are energy. We're just the slower form of energy.
We sure are. So in our remaining two minutes,
Albert Pike said World War III. He said this back in the 19th century, about 1870s to 90s. He and Mazzini, who was another high-level Mason, some say illuminated Mason, in Italy. And for the continental Europe, he and Mazzini were apparently having correspondence. And I read this many years ago. Carr, I think it was William Carr in his book, Pawns in the Game, I think referenced this. And he said that they were corresponding about the three world wars of the 20th century. And they were right in the first two predictions about overthrowing the Russian regime in Russia being the first world war. That was the essence of it, to get rid of the Russian regime there. The second world war being more about the expansion of Zionism and reestablishing Israel. And the third world war being control the destruction of the Middle East. Control the Middle East and destruction of the Middle East. World War III in the Middle East, essentially. And the idea of atheism. Atheism will reign upon this world. We're going to destroy Christianity. We're going to destroy the believers by using radical, by using extremist doctrines, essentially, to overthrow people's faith in God. So that's where I think we're going, because, first of all, you have the conditions for World War III right now, because the Russians, with their nuclear arsenal, already having been retargeted against the American arsenal, advanced arsenal in Europe, actually. This took place 3 months ago. The Russians started to reorient their nuclear arsenal against ours, because they saw this coming, that we're destabilizing Syria, which is an ally, and they said they do not want to see it overthrown. We're threatening war with Iran, which, again, this is on Russia's Soviet border. I mean, this is their backyard. This is old British school. This is British-style imperial politics. It was the great game the Russians fought with the British. They know this game very well. The problem is the Americans don't. We're walking into a neighborhood we don't understand. The British are playing us like fools. Mm. You know, Tony Blair giving us, for example, these forged documents, and then, you know, we don't recognize that it was a British operation to get us into Iraq. Iraq was a British colony. So the point is, we are stumbling into World War III there, and then at home, we have all the conditions for martial law. Because as I said, National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, U.S. citizens can be detained by the U.S. military now. Drones. Obama's using drones on our home front. This is like Star Wars, the Clone Wars all of a sudden. You know, you're not going to deal with people. You're going to deal with drone robots, you know, shooting missiles at you from the sky. You don't know where you're getting hit from. So the drones being used, deployed here, is terrifying. And the fact that Obama has assassinated American citizens, that's unprecedented. He's assassinated these guys in Yemen. They were American citizens. No trial. Not even in absentia. So the point is, we now have the conditions for martial law. McCain and company, when they introduced the NDAA last year, said it's a global war. The U.S. is the home front is the battlefield. The home front. This is German Nazi language.
Yeah,
the fatherland, the home front.
Mind, yeah.
So the point is, that's it. We're either going to commit to this policy, a fascist policy of global war, indefinitely, because we don't know an end to this. There's no end to terrorism. Are you kidding me? Terrorism has been around since before 9/11. It goes back to before this century, the 20th century. It goes, you know, it's historical. So if you're on a global path of fighting terror, there's no end to this war. And that's going to start at home.
Whew. Sean Stone, you have officially blown my mind. This was fantastic. I know it's a little outre for the normal health talk, but listen, you've got to be willing to go places sometimes that you didn't think you were going to go, and take in information and allow it to sink in and think about it. Allow all of these apparent coincidences to line up and create a dialogue in your mind and go, you know what? We are a strange and ancient species. There are mysteries that we don't know and talk about. And maybe this guy's on to something, and the people that he reads are on to something. Now, I'm going to just put something positive out there. What we have to do is wake up. Nothing is inevitable. Awareness is the enemy of this sleepwalking state. Put down the video game. Put down the GMO. take a friend by the hand and say, we got to plant a garden. You know, little simple acts. And we're going to rebel against this whole mind control, food control, video game control culture. And do this. You'll wake up. You'll wake up incrementally, day by day, and then all at once. And you'll be grateful for it. Your body will come alive. Your mind will come alive. And you'll tune into the Robert Scott Bell Show. Sean Stone, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Liam. Pleasure.
And Liam, great job with the interview in my absence. Terrifically done. Thank you to Sean Stone for joining us at the Health Freedom Expo. Terrific. I look forward to having him back on board here with information that is uncensored and unlike anything else you'll hear in the old media and even some of the new media, which drives for sensationalism and hype and fear. And we'll challenge people to take this and turn it positively, as Liam just said there. Well done. Sean, thank you as well. We've got the links up at robertscottbell.com, as we do every day here. And you're going to have to re-listen to that interview a number of times if you want to study deeper into the histories, the mysteries of what is controlling or what is attempting to control you and the rest of planet Earth. Withdraw your consent. Do not allow them to use your energy against you. Why? Because on the Robert Scott Bell Show, it's very simple. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Joshua.
And Anna Scurry, co-founders of Alive Foundation, and you're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show. Alive is a nonprofit organization that will be holding its first annual Celebrity Health and Eco Benefit in New York City and live streamed globally.
Why should you support? This benefit will be centered behind the world's leading natural doctors, celebrities, and organizations that are making a real difference in our world.
Visit AliveNewYork.org today for more information or to make a donation. We cannot do this without you. Join the cause today and be the change.
Scott Bell Show.